Tonight, if you would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. It is good to see the volunteer tonight in their usual seat. And I want us this evening, and as Brother Bruce said, I want to approach faith the same way as he is as far as the subject, but as he also stated, all preachers have their own ways of approaching the subject a little bit differently. It's the same subject. But it is approached a little bit differently, and hopefully we can complement his study by what we would also offer. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 33, notice how it reads, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Notice again, who through faith subdued kingdoms. You'd have to read the entire chapter to see all that transpires in that chapter, referencing all the different people who were men and women of faith. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. And I thought what I would do would focus especially upon that part right there that says, through faith obtained promises. Actually, if you look at the verse, it could actually be read that way if I choose that one particular part of the verse. We could say, who through faith obtained promises. Then, of course, it says, stop the mouths of lions. Now, I talked with Sister Lisa today, Brother Bruce, and she was asking me about the title, and I volunteered just to throw this one out. What I'm going to use to approach my part in this Wednesday night service is the thought, the obtaining of the promises of God. The obtaining of the promises of God. And of course, it's through faith. And I knew that it would get your attention as it gets all of our attention when we talk about the promises of God. We're all locked in on the promises of God, obviously. We need the promises of God. And so hopefully as we approach this, looking at how faith plays a part in that, we will see how important that is. And yes, how encouraging it is to recognize the promises of God from the standpoint of how faith impacts obtaining the promises of God. Let's pray. Father, bless now the reading and, Lord, the sharing of these thoughts this evening. And bless Heavenly Father the service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A little girl one time was asked by an adult. She was asked, what is faith? What is faith? And the little girl, her response was this. She said, faith is believing what you ain't so sure of. What you ain't so sure of. That was her response. Now, Oswald Chambers, who was a great Bible scholar, he made this statement. He said that faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. To treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. You might be interested to know that 500 times in the New Testament, the word faith or believe are found. 500 times. Could I say tonight that the highest honor any of us can pay God is to believe Him? Just to believe Him. In fact, when we do not believe Him, we dishonor Him. When we do not believe Him, we are doubting His ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So it is the greatest dishonor to not believe God. Now, when we think of faith, and what I'd like to do, Brother Bruce, as we, in my part of this, is kind of give a little bit of an introduction, maybe talk about the definition of faith and things like that too, kind of build on that just a little bit as well. Now, when we think of the categories of faith, we could maybe break them down in different ways. We could talk about saving faith. And yes, saving faith, we placed our trust in Christ's work in God's saviors. That's saving faith. We could talk about justifying faith. Or we could deal with doctrinal faith. Or living by faith. There's just different ways to treat the subject of faith. Now, do you know when we think about and talk about faith, there are two absolutes, two essential absolutes when it comes to faith. Two absolutes. It basically breaks down like this. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the two absolutes of faith is to believe, and let me put it to you like this, it's easy to remember this. The two absolutes of faith is to believe that God is, number one, and then to believe that God does. God is, and God does. Now, when we have faith in God, we believe that God will do something, don't we? And he couldn't do it if it wasn't God. So the two absolutes believe that God is and that God does. When it comes to faith, let me kind of hand it out to you in this fashion. Now, faith has been called the complement to grace. You see, we're saved by grace. We know that. By grace, of course, through faith. But faith complements grace. God is so good and so gracious. He delivered us. He gave us redemption. So when we have faith, we complement his grace. It's as though we're saying by having faith, we appreciate the grace of God. I'm going to mention several verses to you that reveal this thing of how faith complements grace. And you may want to just jot these down and kind of study them on your own. Now, I'm like the pastor here. I believe that Wednesday night is just a good time to, have a Bible study theme anyway. And it certainly is good to take notes even and to read these verses and look at them on your own, because after all, we only have your attention here for about 30 minutes. But you all, think of all the time you all have to yourself when you leave here. So it's amazing how, I'm being a little bit sarcastic here, I guess, but it's amazing what you could accomplish after you leave here, because you've only had us about 30 minutes as far as teaching. All right, here's what I'm saying. It complements grace. Number one, faith opens the door to every blessing that is ours in Christ. It opens the door to every blessing that is ours in Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15 is my verse. Notice what it says. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now note this, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So faith opens the door to every blessing that is ours in Christ. It says through faith in Christ Jesus. Secondly, we have access by faith, don't we? Romans 5 verse number 2. By whom also we have access by faith. So you can see how important it is. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Number three, we have sonship by faith. Sonship. Ephesians 3 verse 26. The Bible says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I mean, there's just a lot that ties in with faith. Then we have righteousness by faith. Philippians 3, 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Then we have cleansing by faith. Acts 15:9. And by the way, I'm more than happy to provide a copy of my notes anytime. Anybody, all you got to do is ask me. I couldn't do too much running them off today because our internet's been down all day. That wind got us. I don't know about you all, but it got us. So, but you know, I don't mind. My goodness, I'm not hiding anything here this evening. If you want my notes, you can get them. We have cleansing by faith. Acts 15:9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. I'm trying to point out tonight the significance of faith. And again, the highest honor we can pay to God is to believe him anyway. Then we have victory over the world by faith. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. Victory over the world by faith. We have victory over the evil one by faith. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And of course, that's the devil. So we have victory over the devil by faith. We do. Then we have victory over circumstances and difficulties by faith. Over circumstances and difficulties by faith. And I'm referring now to actually the same passage of Scripture that I'm using as my text. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verses 33 and 34. The Bible says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So we have victory over the circumstances and difficulties in our lives by faith. And then, we're kept through faith. We're kept through faith. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the word, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then finally, we have power through faith. That's in Matthew 17. Verses 19, 20, we have power through faith. Where the Bible says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So we have power through faith. So, maybe that'll kind of get us started tonight in our thinking on the fact of how faith basically does complement grace. It complements God's wondrous, amazing grace. Now, faith has to do with trust. When we talk about faith, we're talking about trust. So it has to do with trust, and by the way, trust must be God-focused. When someone says, I'm a person of faith, we almost feel like asking them, what faith? Or faith in who? Or faith in what? I've heard people to, kind of in a casual way, they'll talk about, well, just stick with your faith, or, you know, just honor the dictates of your faith. But now, let me point out tonight, faith is no better than its object. If faith is in ourselves, it's no good. If faith is in people, it's no good. If faith is in favorable circumstances, it's no good, because favorable circumstances can turn sour overnight. So faith is no better than its object. Our faith or our trust must be focused upon Christ. Again, keep in mind there are two essentials. Believe that God is, and God is able. It hinges on those two things. We must believe that God is, because He is, that He's able. So those two essentials. It's so good to keep those two things in mind. So, faith must be God-focused. God-focused. You know the old song sometimes we sing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. It is sweet to trust in Jesus. It's sour to trust in ourselves. It's sour to trust in this world, but it's sweet to trust in Jesus. I mean, we can be traveling along, minding our own business, everything going good, getting good health reports, and go to the doctor, and it can change overnight. Or you can have happening in your family, the bitter experience that happened in my family this week, Sister Bernie. Of course, now she's 10 million times better off than any of us in here tonight. But at the same time, we still are going to miss her as a family and as a church. But I'm glad that in the midst of this bitter time, we can trust in the sweet promises of God. Amen. It's sweet, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Now last Sunday in Sunday school, we looked at faith on the part of one particular Old Testament Bible character. We were talking about Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not. His walk was a walk of faith. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. May I add tonight, or add this thought, faith sweetens. It really does. Faith sweetens the journey through life with all of those bitter experiences that I mentioned just a few minutes ago. Sweeter gets a journey every day, though, when we walk by faith. When we realize that God is and God is able. And I mean, I don't know how it is with you folks, but the older I get, the more I find myself having to just throw up my hands more often than ever and say, God, if I'm going to get out of this mess, you're going to have to do it. But faith does, sweeter is a journey day by day when we're walking with the Lord. I heard a story that I think will maybe illustrate my point here. I heard of a story of a man in England that had a boat and was loaded his family up on the boat, and he was bringing his boat from Liverpool to the United States, had his family on board. In the course of their navigation, their journey out across the sea, the ship got into a bad storm, and his family were scared to death. Had a little 8-year-old boy, and the little boy woke up scared to death. And then the little boy asked the question in the midst of that storm that was pounding the ship. The little boy asked the question. He said this. He said, is my father still on the deck? Is my father still on the deck? Talking about his father, the captain. And the answer to the little boy was, yes, your father is on the deck. So the little boy just got back in bed, went to sleep, and slept like a storm. Maybe that's not the best analogy, like a storm. I didn't mean to put it like that. But why? Why did he have peace and rest? Because he knew that his father had control of that vessel. And that's what I'm talking about here tonight. Knowing that God is and God is able. Could I say this about faith? Faith is not a blind leap. That's one thing it's not. It's not a blind leap in the dark. Faith is our response to God's promises in our life. Real solid faith is based upon the firmest of foundation. It's based on the Word of God, and it's based on the credibility of the person and the power of God to meet our needs. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. That's one thing it's not. Secondly, faith is not a blank check. But now, let me back up just a little bit here when I said it's not a blind leap. Now, here's a good verse to think about. In the book of John, chapter 4, we read in verse 10, and here's a good verse that goes along with this subject of faith. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. You recall that account of that woman came up to the well, and Jesus asked a drink of water from her. Well, now think about how this verse goes. He said, if thou knewest who saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So the point I want to make from that is he's basically telling that woman at Samaria, He's saying, if you knew who you were talking to, you would have been asking of him for living water. You wouldn't have had any hang-ups about me asking you to give me a drink. If you knew who you were talking to, you could be getting some water far more important than what's in this well. So I want to say tonight, if we will constantly just back up and realize who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the eternal Almighty God. We're dealing with the one who is able to meet our needs. Now, by the way, we all know tonight that God doesn't always see fit to heal everybody of sickness. That's why we're here. He doesn't see fit to always relieve us of certain pressures that are part and parcel of living in this world we're living in. But I have found, and I believe I can say the same for you. I know most of y'all pretty well. I believe you can also say that God is still always giving you the grace and the ability to get through what you're going through. I don't care how tough it is. We have to believe that, don't we? He gives us the grace. He's not always going to deliver us physically here, but he will give us grace to deal with it. And that's so good to know. Now, faith is not a blind leap. It's not a blank check like name it and claim it. Not that either. You know, God's not some kind of a cosmic Santa Claus just waiting for us to place our orders and then drive away with everything we want, everything we desire. Doesn't work that way. It's not a blank check, as far as that's concerned. Not a blank check. Now, faith does not mean the receiving of everything we want. It doesn't. But trusting God for what we really need. We can trust Him for what we really need. He don't always give us what we want, but He does promise to meet our needs. And that's in the book, isn't it? You know, I'm trying to think who it was. An old country music singer. It'll come to me shortly here. He used to sing a song, and the song basically involved the recitation of words too. What's that old country music guy's name? Bill Anderson. Yeah, Bill Anderson. I can't believe I remembered it. He used to sing a song and recite these words. I can still remember him. Had a smooth voice. I think he's still living. By the way, I do like that old classic country music. I haven't gotten away from all of it yet. I haven't got totally that sanctified yet. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Here's what it said, the song. I asked for strength that I might achieve. I was given weakness that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was made weak that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I believe the older we get in grace and the longer we serve God, and the more that we come to realize who God is, the fact that who God is and what God can do, we realize that He never abandons us. He's always with us. He cares more about us than we realize in a given moment. We don't always get what we want, but we get what we need. And any time we feel like we've come up a little bit short, God has a distinct reason for that. And in the end, it may not be on planet Earth, it might be in glory. We're going to find out. God had a reason for it all anyway. Now, faith, by the way, is not a bad choice. I'd be quick to mention that. It's not a bad choice. We will have a deep, settled assurance that God is in absolute control of all situation and has our best interest. And that's so important to realize. I said this past Sunday, I made this statement. Faith, when you stop and think about it, and Brother Bruce commented on that a few minutes ago, faith is actually behind anything of worthwhile in our life as a Christian that will please God. Faith. If it's not based or backed by faith, it's really not good. Faith is a guiding principle behind what we do. Any passage of Scripture you read, any command that's given, any Christian activity that's pleasing to God, it has to be backed by faith. If you go back to the Old Testament, and I mentioned this Sunday, when Joshua was told to stand still and see the salvation of God, you can only stand still by faith. So think about that. We stand still. We remain patient. We wait on God. That's by faith. It takes faith to do it. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's a Bible verse. We wait on Him by faith. We pray in faith, believing, the Bible says. We trust Him by faith. We persevere by faith. It's a guiding principle behind all that we do that has God's pleasure, faith. Hebrews 11, this great chapter we're in, is called the Great Hall of Faith. It's been called the Hebrews Hall of Faith. I'm singling out one verse in it, and that's that 33rd verse again. We note here the thing of how faith enables us to obtain the promises of God. So the sweet promises of God, the sweetness of trust, you might say, obtain the promises of God. And that certainly gets our attention. I don't know about you tonight, but I tell you what, I'm finding myself valuing the promises of God more than ever. I really am. The promises of God mean more to me now in my age of life than they've ever meant before. The promises of God. Don't you get tickled sometimes when you listen to the news? We heard on the news, all of y'all heard this, that the president and a committee has been appointed. They're talking about going to Fort Knox, breaking that great big door, opening that door, and just checking to see if that gold is still in Fort Knox. That sounds a little funny, but that came off the president's lips this past week. He's serious about this thing. He wants to be so transparent with the American people, he wants us to know that gold is still in Fort Knox. But I want to make a point of that tonight. There's a good possibility that when they open that great vault, that gold won't be there. There's always that possibility. You know why I'd say that tonight? Because you can't trust human beings. You can't trust governments. You can't trust politicians. We don't know how many people have had their clammy fingers on that gold. We don't know. I hope it's there, but it may not be there. But I'll tell you this. All of that gold that may be in Fort Knox, it might be questioned whether it's there, but I can tell you this, when the great vault of the gold mine of God's promises are opened, the vault of Scripture, you'll find the promises are still there. You'll find the gold is still there. Nobody, nothing will take away the promises out of the vault of God's Scriptures. The key, though, at our part is faith. It says obtain promises. You want to see promises obtained? Then be men and women of faith. Many Christians struggle in faith and seem to have a hard time trusting God, though. Many will say, my faith is weak. Many are, pulling an illustration again from the Gospels. Many Christians are like the father of the child that had the dumb spirit, and Jesus cast out the dumb spirit, cast away. And then the Bible says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. He said, help thou my unbelief. That's how we cry a lot of times, isn't it? Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I need more faith. I have some faith, but Lord, I need more faith. Are you in that category tonight? I am. Help thou my unbelief. Now, how is unbelief helped? How is it helped? I'll mention two things tonight that might kind of cause all of us to squirm a little bit in our seat, but I'll throw them out. I know you want to learn, don't you? How are unbelief helped? Do you know that Jesus placed value on two things that are ignored a lot today? Now, when it came to the matter of casting out demons in the New Testament, Jesus was addressing the subject. You know, he cast out that dumb spirit out of that boy. What did he say, though? And here it is. This is in Mark 9:29. He said, unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing. Note that. By nothing but prayer and fasting. But by prayer and fasting. Do I believe in prayer? I most certainly do. I don't pray like I should all the time. And I'll be honest, I'm in a good place to be honest, aren't in church. What about fasting? We really get edgy when we talk about fasting, don't we? As long as it's in the book, we have to believe it's important, though. I think I heard the pastor mention here a while back in one of his sermons. He fasted over something, over an issue in your past life. I think you mentioned, I heard you say, Brother Bruce, and God honors it. I think sometimes it would pay us all when it comes to the matter of our unbelief being helped is do more fervent praying and, yes, even be willing to fast, to do without a few meals even. Because as long as it's in the book, we have to believe it, don't we? And we have to preach it. Now, what about the resource for faith? Do you know there's a key resource for faith? If we don't emphasize that resource, then our faith will never be what it should be. And it's a simple, practical truth. Romans 10:17. In fact, I'm going to start the verse out. You folks finish it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So the resource of our faith is the Word of God. You know, no one should be really surprised if their faith is weak, if they're not men and women of scriptures, if they're not reading their Bible and studying their Bible. Don't be surprised if your faith is weak, if you're not daily with discipline, putting emphasis upon the Word of God. You say, preacher, I read it and don't understand it. Well, it doesn't say you have to understand it. Do you know that? We know the Holy Spirit helps our understanding, but we are to study to show ourselves approved. So, you know, something wonderful about the Bible, we can be reading a verse that we don't even understand. But since it's the divine given Word of God, the Holy Spirit can still take that verse and can still, you'll be surprised what He can do. Reading a verse that seems boring and dry, but it's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's got something to work with. And He can somehow take that. By the way, I've seen God do this. The Spirit of God can take a verse and tailor it to your own need. I've seen Him do that. And I may talk about this a little bit at a later point as I rotate back on shift here on Wednesday night. But He can take a verse and He can tailor it to your own need. And I'll discuss that further later on. So, you know, when it comes now to the resource, stay in the Word of God. Hey, don't underestimate the power of Scriptures. Don't underestimate the power of Scriptures. You might be reading a passage that is not clear to you, but it's still Scriptures. It still is. Now, talking about power, you'll appreciate this, and I'll be through very shortly. I see comforting power in Scripture, don't you? Comforting power. All right, what about this? And I'm done with this verse. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Comfort of the Scriptures. So it all ties in, faith. You know, the Word of God gives faith, and we can recognize the comfort. Well, I'm going to end it right here and let the pastor come back. But we talked about the resource of faith, the power of the Scriptures, the comforting power. We could mention the convicting power and the converting power. And I'll do that later. We got all kinds of time. But hey, we're going to be here till the Lord takes us home one way or the other anyway, aren't we? We got time, don't we? We'll get back on. But anyway, brother, you come right on and I'm done for this evening.